Please, would you open your Bibles to our passage of study tonight? Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. Revelation 14, 6 through 13. The word of God says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water.' And another angel followed, saying, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.' Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.' Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." May God bless His word as we read and study it tonight. If you ever have bought a diamond or a diamond ring, I think my only experience of this was around 8 years ago when I was looking for that ring that I was going to present to see you during my proposal to her. I remember this day so vividly. I was so excited. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. You know, I have saved up for this and went to the shopping center to find the ring. And wow, I've never looked at jewelry shops in the past. I don't buy from that kind of shop. I mean, yes, when you go around, you see them like, okay, they're just there. You know the names of these shops and all of that. This is the first time I entered with a desire to buy something. So of course, I was excited. And so I started to look, you know. And so the lady there came and, "Oh, sir, how may I help you?" And I said, "Oh, I think my green was from here to here, you know. I'm looking for a ring for my future wife." And she said, "Okay, so come over here. This is the section for engagement rings." And I said, "Oh, wow, these are lovely." I started with the biggest one. And she took out a black flat thing. She put it there, and so I said, "This one," and she puts it there. And it seemed like it glowed even brighter when she put it there on that black thing. It's like, wow, you see, you know, the cut and the shape and just the beauty of it. And that's when the first time I said, "Isn't this kind of like yellowy?" And she says, "Well, diamonds, sir, have different colors. It's not just white." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know that. So they have diamonds of different colors." "Yes, it could be yellow. It could be a little bit this and that." "Oh, okay." So I look at it. And of course, the first thing I looked was the price. Well, this is the second thing, of course, because I saw like, and I said, "Oh, not this one." "Yeah, thank you though. No, how?" I went to the smallest one this time. "No, this one." And you know, and of course, the second one, you look at is the price again. It's like, "Ooh, maybe a little bit bigger than this one," you know. And so I went back and forth to that. Finally, I found the one. And I thank the Lord for that ring that God has enabled us to secure for that the engagement story next time, okay? But just, I just want to emphasize, dearly beloved, that that moment when she, the lady put it there, the diamond ring put it there on that black thing, it seemed as if it's a stark contrast of the blackness of that felt cloth and on a, I don't know if it was like a cardboard underneath it or a wood, but when she puts it there, it becomes, it stands out. It glitters brightly. Our passage tonight seemed to be like that. Now, these past Sundays, we have been studying about this group of people, this huge mass that had their mark of the beast on their foreheads and in their hands. And how that they persecuted the Christians and that they followed the Antichrist. What a grim, dark part of future history. And yet, just like a glittering diamond, we see another group of people here that will shine out of that blackness of future history. And these are the faithful saints of God. Our focus this evening is in verses 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. We're talking about the saints, the saved ones, the justified ones, the redeemed ones during the time of the great tribulation. These are those who will be saved during this very difficult time. And we will look into two aspects of this group of people. The life of the faithful saints, found in verse number 12. And then secondarily, the death of the faithful saints in verse number 13. In verse number 12, John here says, here is the patience of the saints. In contrast to this group of people following the Antichrist, they're evil. They're full of fornication. They're full of sin. They want a life of simplicity, of all of this wealth that they can get because they follow the Antichrist. In contrast to that, John says, here is the patience of the saints. In other words, dearly beloved, even in those very difficult times wherein only those who will follow the Antichrist will have a good life and the rest will have a very difficult life, here's what John is saying. The true saints of God perseveres even to the end. Even through the difficult times of the great tribulation, they will persevere. In fact, the word there, patience, that John uses, here is the patience of the saints. It is the Greek word hypomone. Hypomone. It means steadfastness. It means perseverance. It means endurance. It means constancy. That's what the word patience here means. So if we can substitute this word, Paul says, here is the steadfastness of the saints. Here is the perseverance of the saints. Here is the endurance of the saints. Here is the constancy of the saints in the middle of this very difficult time. Dearly beloved, this is an important teaching of the Word of God pertaining to the people of God. And listen, we may be talking about the future saints here, but this is also very related to us today, with us today. And I hope that we get the challenge here this evening as we study the lives and the death of these faithful saints. Dearly beloved, those who have been chosen, those who have been predestined, those who have been adopted into the family of God, those who have been accepted as children of God, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, those who have been forgiven, those who have been saved, those who have been justified will never lose their faith, but will persevere to the end, even until death. Now, if you are included in this statement,
You believe you have been chosen. You have been predestined. You have been adopted into the family of God. You have been accepted. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have been forgiven. You have been saved. You have been justified. This lesson, this challenge, and even this comfort is also for you. You will never lose your faith, but you will persevere until death. Now, I want to emphasize this is not due to the exertion of the saint. This is not because we are good. Not because we are in ourselves, we are faithful. That we have the energy, the capacity, the power to go through life's difficulties by ourselves. No. The emphasis here is not so much on what we can do or what we have the ability to do. The emphasis here of the patience of the saints is on the God of the saints. It's the Father of the saints. Look at John chapter 10. The same John wrote this gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 10. John 10, 27 and 28 says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking here. Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In other words, those who are true Christians, they know the voice of Jesus. And the voice of Jesus for today is the very word of God that we open every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we study it. This is it. You know his voice, and you know the teachings of Christ, and you follow them. And here's what I want to emphasize here, verse 28. And I give them eternal life. So dearly beloved, eternal life will not start when you die. No, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, eternal life starts right there. So if you this evening have trusted Christ as your Savior 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 5 years ago, you had eternal life starting that time. And until now you have it. Because Jesus Christ says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So why will the saints persevere? Because they're right there in the hand of God, safe and secure. And nobody can pry the hand, the fingers of God and snatch you out there. Nobody can. Christ says, nobody can snatch you out. Matthew 24. Another passage here that tells us that it's not about us, it's about God that sustains us, that really protects us and secures us. Matthew 24, 11 through 13. Matthew 24, 11 through 13. Then, Jesus Christ again here is teaching. He says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Wow. And he's talking about here the tribulation period. But here, verse 13, listen. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, when you look at that, it looks as if it's really me working out here. But as what we do here in our study, we always emphasize that we interpret scripture with scripture, dearly beloved. And when Jesus Christ says here, he who endures to the end shall be saved, he's not propagating here an idea that it is us who must exert effort to keep us saved. Remember, when we got saved, it wasn't our effort too. It was God who saved us, redeemed us, cleansed us, accepted us. So what he's talking about here is that when God is holding us, that results, of course, a life that is synonymous or that results to this security we have. Since we are secure here, then a life that is secure shows forth a life that endures. That's what Christ is talking about. In other words, if you're not in the first place in the hand of God because you're not saved, even if you claim to be, and there are a lot of people who do that today. Oh, you go everywhere. Oh, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian too. But if you look into their lives, if you observe how they live, You listen to their words. You ask for their aspirations, for what really is their treasures. Dearly beloveds, it's impossible to conclude that they are Christians, because their reality is they're not. And so that's why their lives will not show forth one that is patient or enduring. But Romans chapter 8, I think, is the best conclusion of all of this. My favorite passage of all in terms of the love of God. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. Look down on your Bibles and read there with your eyes where it says, Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When God the Father is holding us there, His love also continues to follow us. And nothing, no one can ever separate us from His love. So dearly beloved, what if you go back to Revelation chapter 14, when we see this statement, "Here is the patience of the saints," what we're saying is that there is no such thing as someone losing their salvation. Do you hear that sometimes nowadays? "Oh, I lost my salvation, but I'm no longer saved." Or even this, they claim, "Oh, I'm no longer a Christian." You know? "Before I was, when I was a kid, I was a Christian, but now I'm not anymore." I hear that sometimes. Or maybe this sentence, "I left the Christian faith." That's a common term nowadays too. And sadly, even from Christian, I'll put in quotation, Christian leaders. Dearly beloved, listen, true Christians will always be Christians. Those who are not Christians will eventually show the true nature of them being not Christians. And that's what we find behind these sentences. That in the very first place, they were never saved. Because if they were, remember this? Nobody, even ourselves, we cannot unsave ourselves or unsaved ourselves. We cannot. And a true Christian won't even think about that. A true Christian, knowing the gravity of the gift of salvation, do you want to be unsaved? That's unspeakable. That's unthinkable. A true Christian would be so grateful to God and would just be so ready to serve God for the rest of their lives, no matter what happens, knowing the sacrifice that Christ died on the cross. So, dearly beloved, I hope that this message gives you assurance. You, my brother, you, my sister. I hope this gives you assurance that you are safe in the hollow of God's hands. You will never be lost. The one who found you keeps you forever. So that's why John says, "Here is the patience of the saints." But the second thing we see here about the life of the faithful saints is this. Here are those who keep the commandments of God. In other words, the true saints of God keeps or follows or obeys the commandments of God. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 includes this very tenet. That's why when Christ gave this great commission, He didn't just give us the commission to go, as we're going, we make disciples of all nations. He also did add baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And also to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, to obey all the things that Christ has commanded us. So a true saint of God will always have the desire to keep, to obey the commands of God. In fact, obedience to the commands of God is an assurance, is an evidence of our love for God. John again writes about this. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and two verses here, verse 15 and verse number 21. John 14, please. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus says. You will keep my commandments is the Greek there. Verse number 21 says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the true saints, dearly beloved, are those who truly love God. And because they truly love God, they will also obey his commands. Not man-made traditions, not man-made standards, the very word of God. Another writing of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. 1 John 5, 3. For those who are saying, oh, but it's hard. It's hard to obey God. Well, look at what John said. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are what? Not burdensome. Not burdensome. We know this even in our marriages. That you would do anything for your spouse or for your wife or for your husband. Well, not anything. That's sinful, I'm sure. But in terms of service, I've seen this with my wife, with her service to me and my family. Wives waking up in the morning and doing all these things to care for their husbands and their children. Why do you do that? Why do you do such sacrifices? You know, there was this video that was put on social media wherein they interviewed people for a certain job. No? And they interviewed ladies for this job. And so, you know, usual interview. And then towards the end, the ladies asked, so what is this job about? And of course they want to ask. Well, this job is 7 days a week in a job. What? Okay. Yeah. And this job, you don't have any time for rest. And you will need to be on call every single hour. And if you're sleeping and we need you, you need to wake up. Those who are, you know, being interviewed are just like starting to like change their faces. Oh, okay. And then they ask, oh, okay, so how much is the compensation? Well, the compensation is nothing. I was like, what? Are you joking? And then they reveal that this job is motherhood. That's motherhood. Or even a wife. Like, you're on call 24/7. You know, you have no salary, but wow. Look at all the things that you do. And to be honest, if you needed to be, if there is such a thing as payment for wives and mothers, we will not be able to afford it. But it's also the same with husbands. No, husbands do the same. But why? Why do we do this? Love, is it not? Well, apply that to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The true saints of God keeps the commandments of God because we love God. And that's exactly what the saints here during the tribulation did. They are those who keep the commandments of God. But thirdly, look at the last portion of verse 12. They are also those who keep the faith of Jesus. In other words, the true saints of God keep the faith that they have in Jesus. Now, the way I worded that, of course, again, is that they are keeping the faith. But the teaching here of the word of God is that it's not so much about us keeping the faith. Because we know we're not faithful. We know that. But we know from the teaching of the Word of God, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It starts there. Okay, you will not be saved. You will not have saving faith unless you hear the gospel. So those people would say, so how will you say, or will you say, well, you know, I went to this temple, and if there's no gospel there that Christ died for your sins, he was buried and he rose again on the third day, and you accepted Christ as your savior and you repent from your sins, that is not the gospel. That is not saving faith, my brothers and sisters. But here, Philippians 1:6 tells us the important truth about the working of God in our lives as far as faith is concerned. Being confident, Paul says to the Philippian believers, and he tells us today of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you. What is that good work in you? Salvation. Faith. What did he say here? Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why we find in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, that most familiar passage about running our race. Don't miss this very important point here. Yes, we are commanded that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's chapter 11, those who have executed faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what else do? We look unto Jesus, who is called us what? The author and the finisher of our faith. So it's Jesus that keeps our faith going. It's Jesus who authored our faith. It's Jesus who finishes our faith. Not us. Not us. I know that you can attest with this, that sometimes you can say, oh, Pastor, I almost lost my faith. It's true. Because as human beings, we can't. We are not perfect. We're not able. But we know we still are in the fold. Why? Because when we cannot hold on anymore, you know who holds us? It's God. And going back here, dearly beloved, in Revelation, even the threat of execution here for the tribulation saints, even the threat of execution will not cause the tribulation saints to abandon their faith in Christ. Like the heroes of the faith enlisted in Hebrews 11, they will maintain their testimony until the end, even if that end includes martyrdom. And here's the challenge for us from Paul's writing. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He also writes in 1 Corinthians, be watchful, stand firm, win in the faith, act like men, be strong. And 1 Timothy, oh, I like this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. Challenge for us. A challenge for us. It doesn't mean that when God is holding us in his hand, that there is no other work that we can do on our side. No, Paul encourages us also. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So this doesn't mean, dearly beloved, oh, we'll just dilly-dally here. We'll just sit down here. We will not read our Bible. We will not, you know, pray anymore. We will not go to church anymore. Because, well, God is holding me. No, 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 no. We should not make this an excuse. But may that encourage us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith, to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, to act like man, to be strong, and to fight the good fight of faith. One author said this, dearly beloved, no group of believers will face stronger assaults on their faith than the tribulation saints found in Revelation 14. This large group of believers will include both Gentiles and Jews. We know that. They will be saved through the ministries of the two witnesses in chapter 11 and the ministry of the 144,000. Remember in chapter number 14 here at the very first part? The tribulation saints will endure the most intense persecution in human history. You think people are being persecuted now? Wait till you see this happening. Yet God will set a limit on the tribulation so that the elect will not suffer more than they can bear. There is no stronger evidence that saving faith perseveres than the reality that the most tested believers in history will maintain their saving faith until the end. So dearly beloved, if tests come, those darkest times in your life come, those most difficult storms come, I hope you find it in your heart to say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Why? My faith is being tested here. What am I going to do? Am I going to quit or not? I hope you will say, I won't. I will fight this good fight of faith. Because again, a tested faith is a faith that perseveres. So that's the life of the faithful saints in verse number 12. But let's end with the death of the faithful saints in verse 13. John hears a voice here. He says in verse 13, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to him, to me, write. Write, John. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." That's the voice he heard. Write this, John. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. The saints of God are not only blessed because they lived faithfully, praise the Lord, but also they are blessed because they die faithfully in the Lord. We know that during this time, many of them will be martyred. Many of them will face persecution. Many of them will die because of their faith in the Lord. And John hears the voice here that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. From the Old Testament view, Psalm 116, verse 15 come into mind. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. It's precious. And you know what? If you look at verse 13 again, there's a response to this. There's a response from the Holy Spirit himself. He says, yes. Yes. You know what? The Holy Spirit here agrees. And this is the only passage. Well, one of the two passages in the book of Revelation that the Holy Spirit is quoted directly. Here, where he says, yes, in verse number 13. And then in 22, verse 17. 22 verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. These are the two instances only in the book of Revelation where the Holy Spirit is quoted directly. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth says, yes. That's true. That blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And he says that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Rest here, dearly beloved, means to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. To give rest, to refresh, to give oneself rest, or to take rest or repose. That's the meaning there. I think this is what we hear from funeral services or worship, burial services where it says, oh, may he take repose or something like that to the effect. May his soul have repose, something like that. I'm using it right. But dearly beloved, repose, rest, can only be true for the saints. There is no rest for the wicked. Remember, last Sunday we discussed that? Because the moment the wicked, the unbeliever, the unsaved dies, he goes straight to hell. And after that, it will be thrown in the lake of fire. Second death. How will you rest there? When day and night, he will be suffering. There's no rest there. Do you think they'll be able to, oh, let me sit down for a minute before I get burned again. You know, 10 seconds, please. No, there's no rest. But for the faithful, there will be rest that they may rest from their what? Labors. The word labors here is a word for toil, for pains, for difficult, exhausting work. And dearly beloved, I know you and I can relate with this. Serving the Lord is, yes, joyful. This morning we did say the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. But it's also true that it's exhausting. Amen? Yo, you can't relate with that? Okay. I thought like, oh, whoa. Oh, wow, this is a really lovely bunch here in St. John Evangelist Baptist Church. They're not really tired. Let me know if you're not tired. I'll give you more work. You know? But yeah, yes, it's joyful to serve the Lord. But dearly beloved, it's also exhausting. It's tiring. It is this toil and toil day in and day out. And sometimes you're tired and you want to rest, but you can't because you still have other things to do. And sometimes you cry in your bed because you don't seem to find any hope or any strength to move forward. You don't even know if you can wake up the next day because of just the pain, physical pain, maybe that you're experiencing, or even the emotional burden, or even the spiritual pain that you're going through. That's the toll that we experience here on this earth that we don't belong in. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And that adds a different level of exhaustion in our work. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help that not everybody is toiling. When supposedly the work will be lighter when everyone is toiling. But no, that's the reality, dearly beloved, of Christian life. So these are layers upon layers of labors that the Holy Spirit here is saying. But the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, death may be a gruesome idea for some, but listen, that is rest for their labors. The tribulation saints, for them, death will come as a welcome relief, for death will lead them to eternal rest. Just imagine the persecution here. Just imagine the difficulty here. The day in, day out, they're looking for food. They're looking for the necessities, but they can't get any because they don't have the mark of the beast. And compounded with that, they're being harassed. They're being persecuted. And their life is on the line. Just imagine that. And so maybe this evening you can say, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe my toil is not that bad. But they understand. We can relate with this because we do toil. We do serve the Lord until we're exhausted. Until we can no longer give anything else. But there is still work to be done. And that's what one old pastor told me when I visited him in his home. And he's doing all of these ministries and work. And you can see it with his physical body absorbing all of the stress and the workload. And I ask him, do you ever rest, Pastor? And he says, no, Pastor. Rest is in heaven. Because even if I do want to rest here, Pastor! Pastor! That's just the nature of work there in the Philippines. Rest for the saints. Not truly, can never be truly found here. Yes, we can rest for hours, sleep, and all that. But we will keep serving the Lord in this body that is deteriorating. That every year you find a new way of hurting yourself. Of hurting myself. New pain. New tests to be done with this doctor. New appointments. And every year it seems to be compounded. That sometimes you forget, oh, did I go to this doctor last week? Which one should I go to? It just compounds everything. But oh, the Holy Spirit says, let them die in the Lord. They have been faithful. And they will die faithfully. That they may rest from their labors. One author said, the saints, they will be eternally blessed, they will be wonderfully relieved, and they will be abundantly rewarded. Because that's exactly what the last line says. And their works follow them. Works here are deeds. Deeds of service to the Lord. Oh, dearly beloved, this is a wonderful encouragement to the tribulation saints. But listen, may this also encourage you tonight. You have been toiling for God. You have been laboring for God. You give your all. Even if sometimes you have no longer anything to give. You extend yourself. You extend yourself. But listen, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The record of the tribulation saints' diligent labor and our labor today will follow along with us. God will give heavenly rewards to earthly service. Hebrews chapter 6. I'll end with this, dearly beloved. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 10. Hebrews 6, verse number 10. For God is not unjust. Double negative there, which cancels out, becomes positive, right? For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. That is not a maybe. That is a promise that will be fulfilled. I know you might just say, if you're a faithful laborer of God, Pastor, I don't really need rewards. I just want to go home to heaven. Have you gone to that point in your life? Like, you know, with all I've gone through here, I just want to go and see the Lord and just be with the Lord. You know, that's enough. But no, our God is just. Our God knows. Our God values. Whatever you give away here, and you give away yourself. I've worked with you for almost 4 years now. I've seen people here work every day, almost. And you give your all. You give your strength. You give your talents. You suffer behind the scenes. And you even don't share that with people. You don't share that with me. I know. I know there's suffering. I know there's pain. I may not be able to reward you. And I can't, even though I try. But here's the encouragement, my fellow laborer. Press on, because our God is not unjust. He is not unjust to forget your labor and your work of love. So as the tribulation saints labor, will labor someday, let's labor today. And someday, when we receive those crowns, we will not keep it for ourselves. But we will lay them at his feet and say, Jesus, I am not worthy of this. You are. And we will sing his glory there forever and ever. And we will continue serving there. But the difference is in a body that will no longer feel pain. Isn't that amazing? It will be totally a different ball game. Different ball game. Perfect voices. You know, feet that will not ache. No more headaches. You know, no need of sleep. You know, catching up on sleep. But until then, let's be faithful. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that this encourages everyone tonight. Because sometimes the days are long, the nights are lonely. Hard to sleep when there's a lot of disappointments. I should have done this, I should have done that. Lord, comfort us that our labor is not in vain in you. Thank you that you see everything that we do. But Lord, it's sufficient for us to be with you someday. But thank you also that you are not an unjust God. You will reward those who are faithful. And may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.